In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, the gracious God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, has made this a day of special rejoicing. With this new organ, we will be encouraged to sing to the Lord and bless His name, and to tell of His salvation from day to day. We will also adorn the Word of Christ, which dwells in us richly in all wisdom, so that teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, we may sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord, as He has taught us in His holy word that everything is sanctified by the word of God and by prayer. It is fitting that we bless and sanctify this instrument for use in God's holy house. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, You dwell in the heavens, surrounded by angels and archangels, and all the company of heaven, as they offer their worship and sing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of Sabaoth." We thank You that You have united our voices with Your unending hymn of praise. Of Your goodness, You have blessed us with this organ to enliven our hearts and to adorn our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Grant that by Your mercy we may ever glorify Your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless this organ for use in the services of His house. Amen.
Amen.
We can continue by singing our opening hymn.
Thank you.
sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Continue with the intro printed in your bulletin. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be ashamed.
Let not my enemies exalt over me.
Indeed, none who waits for you shall be put to shame.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation.
For you are my way to all.
May integrity and uprightness preserve me.
For I pray for you.
Redeem me, Israel, O God.
Out of all these troubles.
To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame.
Let not my enemies exalt over me.
Indeed, none who waits for you shall be put to shame.
By your protection, we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. Last week we started the second commandment. We will continue that. What is God's name? God himself reveals his name to us in Scripture. In the Old Testament, God reveals his personal name, Yahweh, I Am. Exodus 3. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of your father has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. Thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. By the incarnation, God reveals the fullness of his grace with a new personal name, Jesus, which means Yahweh saves. Christians also confess Jesus is Lord, meaning Jesus is Yahweh in human flesh. Matthew 1, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. 1 Corinthians 12, no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Philippians 2, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Note, in confessing Jesus Christ as Lord, we confess that Jesus is Yahweh, namely the only true God, the God of the Old Testament and the New Testaments. Come in our human flesh. See also Romans 10 as it quotes Joel 2. Our Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Advent is from the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah, beginning with verse 5. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise up to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper, and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the descendants of the house of Israel from the north country, from all the countries where I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Here endeth the Old Testament reading. We continue with the gradual printed in your bulletin. None who wait for you shall be put to shame.
They shall be ashamed who are wanting to be treacherous.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Our epistle reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome, the 13th chapter, beginning with verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry, in drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Here endeth the epistle reading. Please rise for the Alleluia verse. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Alleluia.
Holy Gospel is written in the 21st chapter of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 1.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
near, and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says to you, 'You shall say, the Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them to you." All this was done to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their cloaks on them, and set him on them. And a great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down palm branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Here endeth the gospel reading. During Advent, we will confess the Athanasian Creed, so I believe that's inserted in your bulletin. Whoever will be saved bear before all things, it is necessary that he hold the Catholic faith.
Which faith is that every one to be equal and one without doubt he shall perish everlastingly.
And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity.
Neither confounding the persons, nor dividing the substance.
For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Ghost.
But the Godhead of the Father,
such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Ghost.
The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, and the Holy Ghost uncreated.
The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, the Holy Ghost incomprehensible.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Ghost eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal.
And there are not three eternals.
So likewise, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, and the Holy Ghost almighty.
And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty.
So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God.
And yet there are not three gods, but one God.
So likewise, the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, and the Holy Ghost is Lord.
And yet there are three lords, but one Lord.
For like as we are compelled by the Christian verity to acknowledge every person by himself to be God and Lord.
So are we forbidden by the Catholic religion to say that there be three gods or three lords.
The Father is made of none, neither is created nor begotten.
The Son is of the Father alone, not made nor created, but begotten.
The Holy Ghost is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding.
So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Ghost, not three Holy Ghosts.
And in this Trinity, none is before or after the other, none is greater or less than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal together and co-equal, so that in all things, as is
he therefore that will be saved must thus think of the Trinity.
Furthermore, it is necessary to everlasting salvation that he also believe faithfully the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
For the right faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man.
God of the substance of the Father, begotten before the worlds, and man of the substance of his mother, born
perfect God and perfect man, of a reasonable soul in human flesh subsisting.
Equal to the Father as touching his Godhead, and inferior to the Father as touching his manhood.
Who, although he be God and man, yet he is not two, but one Christ.
One now by conversion of Godhead into flesh, but by taking the manhood into God.
One altogether not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person.
For as the invisible soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ.
Who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead.
He ascended into heaven, he is still at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
At whose coming all men shall rise again with their bodies and give an account of their own works.
And they that have done good shall go into life everlasting, and they that have done evil into everlasting fire.
This is the Catholic faith, which except a man believe faithfully and firmly, he cannot be saved. Please be seated as we continue with the next hymn. Sermon is receive Jesus the way he comes to you. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen. There's a poem by Richard Wilbur by the title, A Christmas Hymn, which has the refrain, and every stone shall cry, and every stone shall cry. This refrain refers to an episode recorded in the 19th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel. When Jesus is entering into Jerusalem and the crowds are shouting praises to Jesus, calling him their king, the Pharisees and the crowd commanded Jesus to rebuke his disciples for what they perceived as blasphemy. However, Jesus responds, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. Dear saints in Christ, if Jesus' disciples do not praise him, the stones themselves will praise him. This is true because Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He utters his voice and the earth melts. He created the heavens and the earth. All things visible and invisible exist in order to serve him. And yet Jesus did come to be praised by rocks or sheep or donkeys or even angels. No, Jesus came to be praised by you. This is why he took on human flesh and was laid as a baby in a manger. This is why he was obedient to his parents. This is why he was baptized in the Jordan River. Why he rode on a donkey into Jerusalem. Why he was nailed to a cross and laid in a tomb. He didn't do all of this to save rocks or beasts or animals. Jesus took on human flesh, lived under the law to save humans. You, under the law, and he died to take away your sin. And he has done this so that you, whom he saves, will sing his praises both now and forever in eternity. Nevertheless, there are many who will not praise him, as you see it with the disgruntled Pharisees. They do not welcome his coming. Rather, they are plotting his execution as the crowds are singing his praises. They reject Jesus because he does not come the way that they want him to come. He comes lowly on a donkey. You see, he's too humble and weak looking to be their king and the promised Christ. They reject him because he is an outsider. He didn't learn from them or go to their school. They reject him because he doesn't praise them or stoke their egos. They reject him because he rejects their man-made rules. Because he teaches with the authority of God. Because he receives sinners and he eats with them. Jesus didn't come the way they wanted him to come. So they rejected him. Instead of praising him, they demanded his crucifixion. Instead of calling him their king, they said they had no king but Caesar. Instead of taking off their cloaks to lay before his donkey, they watched as soldiers stripped Jesus of his clothes and cast lots for them. Instead of cutting branches from trees to wave in praise, they wagged their heads in disdain as Jesus was nailed to a tree. Perhaps if Jesus would have presented himself in a different way, they would have accepted him and sung his praises. And this is how many think today. You want Jesus to come to you in a way that is comfortable for you. You want Jesus to meet you on your terms and present himself in a manner of your liking. Some want Jesus to entertain you, while others want Jesus to tell you how smart you are. You think his words in Scripture are outdated and out of touch You think baptism is superstitious and reject the idea that it can forgive sins. You are offended that Jesus gives authority to men to forgive sins and promises to come to people through their words. That Jesus tells you to repent and believe in the gospel does not bode well for most. If Jesus were really Jesus-like, he would just accept people the way they are and who they are and affirm them in their sins. For these and a host of other reasons, people today reject Jesus and refuse to sing his praises. Maybe if Jesus would come in a different way, more people would accept him and sing his praises. If Jesus would be a bit more entertaining, a bit more flattering, if he would let you choose in what mode you would like to receive him, if he would not talk so much to you about sin, death, and judgment, if he would be less divisive and more like the Jesus in the imagination of men's hearts, well, then Jesus would be accepted. Right? Wrong. Jesus does not need to change the way he comes to you. Rather, you need to accept Jesus the way he comes to you. You need to accept the baby born on straw in the stable. You need to accept the man who calls sinners to repentance. You need to accept the man who calls sinners and who rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, who was arrested and rode and rested in the dead of night and was crucified upon the cross, yet rose again on the third day. You need to accept the man who comes to you through words, not just any words, but words given for you, given that you have created faith, words that forgive sins and build up the host of saints in heaven for many generations and will continue to do so. Words that the Holy Spirit caused prophets and apostles to write down. Words that call you to repentance. And words that declare forgiveness of sins freely for Christ's sake. Words that demand that you conform your minds to God's will. And words that tell you to love one another. You see, you must accept Jesus the way he comes to you. Because Jesus does not come to you in any other way. He doesn't come to you through the breeze blowing through the leaves as you sit in your deer stead. He doesn't bubble up in your heart as you meditate upon your own feelings concerning the world. He doesn't come to you through Muhammad or Buddha or Hare Krishna. And he doesn't preach to you any other gospel. He doesn't come to you to tell you how to get rich or to live your best life now. He doesn't encourage you in your selfish desires and sins. He doesn't tell you that if you try your best, you'll go to heaven based on your works. Rather, Jesus comes to you as the God-man, the one who was crucified for your sins, rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And Jesus tells you to repent of your sins and to trust in him for forgiveness and salvation found in him alone. If you are going to receive Jesus, you must receive him on his terms, not on your own. Nevertheless, this does not mean that Jesus does not meet you where you are. Quite the contrary, Jesus does not demand that you ascend to him. Rather, he comes down to you. In fact, Jesus comes down to you in the only way you can receive him. You see, if Jesus were to come down in his divine glory without joining himself to your human nature, you would be consumed by his glory. You wouldn't be able to stand before him, let alone receive him into your hearts. And if Jesus were to tell you to do your best and to try to enter heaven by your own works, absolutely none of you would make it. Every one of you would fail. You're sinners. You will never, ever be good enough by your own works to enter heaven. And if Jesus were simply to ignore sin, to tell you that you don't need to repent, he would deny himself. For he is righteous, and no wickedness can dwell within him. Jesus can't share his glory with any other God because he is the only God, and you must have no other gods before him. If Jesus did not die for your sins, then your sins would still oppress and condemn you today, and they would bind you to hell. Nevertheless, Jesus didn't come in any way invented by sinful people. Rather, Jesus came in the only way you could receive him as your Savior. He took on your human flesh, was tempted in every way as you were, except with no sin. He fulfilled God's law in your place. Jesus entered Jerusalem, humble, mounted on a donkey to show that he does not come in the power of violence, but in the power of mercy, which he showed by bearing your sins upon the cross. Jesus came in the only way that shepherds could come and bow down to him, that a sinful woman could wash her feet with her tears and hair, that crowds of sinners looking for a Savior could greet with palm branches and shout with hosannas, that could bring him to a cross. He came in the only way where his disciples could take hold of his nail-pierced, yet living feet in worship. And Jesus comes to you today in the only way you can truly receive him. He comes to you in baptism to wash your sins away. You cannot choose him, nor cleanse yourself from your sinful condition. So Jesus does it for you. He empowers simple water with his almighty word. Jesus calls sinners not to save themselves, but to come to him for salvation. He doesn't demand that you make reparations in order to receive forgiveness. Rather, he declares forgiveness by grace as a gift. Jesus comes to you in bread and wine, which cannot be eaten by angels. But you can eat and drink. A meal simple enough for anyone to eat, yet holy enough to contain the very body and blood of Christ Jesus, which must be eaten in faith in order to receive its eternal benefits. If Jesus were to come the way you wanted him to come, you would be lost. Thank God, Jesus comes the way he planned, with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Thank God he came to take away your sins through his passion, so that when he returns, he will not deal with you according to your sins, but with the healing in his wounds. Thank God that he comes to you in words of peace and mercy, and that he opens your ears and softens your hearts to understand and believe these words, so that Christ Jesus might dwell in your hearts through faith. It is only through repentance and faith in the gospel of Christ that you receive Jesus. Dear saints in Christ, this is how God has prepared praise for Jesus wherever he makes his entrance. And this praise will continue to grow. God grant that you would receive Jesus in faith as he comes to you, so that you might praise him today, tomorrow, and in eternity. Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen. church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Be with your whole church, Lord, that as we wait the coming of Christ, our King, our hearts may be filled with joy and our lips with his praise. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, encourage the preachers of your word and all who hear, for salvation is near to us than now when we first believe. Give boldness to and faithfulness to Matthew, our synodical president, Brady, our district president, Greg, our circuit visitor, and all pastors in Christ. Renew the faith and quicken the love of all Christians to cast off the works of darkness. Put on Jesus Christ and live as children of the eternal day. Lord, in your mercy, O God, our Father, giver of all good gifts, look upon the households of your people. Provide companionship for those who are alone and strengthen the bonds of marriage. Equip parents to raise their children in love and faith. Grant that our homes may be places of joy, reasonableness, peace, and prayer. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, behold our nation and its leaders and protect our armed forces, taking them under your care and blessing them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, show compassion to the sick, the suffering, and those in need, especially Emma, Bob, Jackie, Barb, Marianne, Jerry, Patty, Kristen, Julie, Marge, Wally, Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Arlene, Carol, Pastor Moe, Mike, Jenna, Dennis, Ruth, Janet, Tammy, Roger, Steve, Larry, Rachel, Shirley, Deanna, Robin, Brianna, Chuck, Lizia, Gordon, Deb, Pastor Fish, Mary, Billy, Ted, Tony, the Langton family, the Leslie family, Grace, Linda, and Talitha Brown. Relieve their pain and increase their faith, and grant healing and peace in accordance with your wisdom and will. Lord, in your mercy, Lord of life, your Son humbly rode into Jerusalem to the shouts of Hosanna, so that he might give us righteousness and salvation by his death and resurrection. Mercifully grant that we repent of our sins and rejoice in his presence as he visits us with his very body and blood in this holy supper this day. Lord, in your mercy, Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Evelyn continually by your word and spirit that she may faithfully keep the covenant into which she has been called, boldly confess her Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, gracious Father, you have made us glad to enter into your presence to hear the good news of our Savior and receive his gifts. Preserve your church against all her enemies and lead us to walk in your ways and to follow your paths. And when Jesus returns in his glory, we may welcome him with glad hosannas. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you, the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with hymn 307.
Amen.
rise and continue the service of the sacrament. The
Lord be with you.
We should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming in the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the blood of Christ. Shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the blood of Christ. Shed for the remission of all your sins. This true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Starting like a light lunch there.